Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Thank you so much for joining us again today as we continue this discussion, Investing in Your Marriage. Today is part 7, and Bethley and I think you will enjoy this conversation. We're glad to have you along. We've talked so far about the idea of our roles and responsibilities based on Ephesians 5, husbands to love and lead, and a wife is to submit, follow, partner, respect.
Yes.
Each of us have unique responsibilities given to us by God. We're talking about Christian marriages and the embrace, we ought to embrace those as from God.
Right.
Last week we started this, really it was part 3 of the series, but kind of a new section called Relationships. Mm-hmm. Based on the truth of the Bible says that a man leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they two
are one.
They shall become one. They are one. So that's really about marriage relationship. The definition of marriage, the permanence of marriage. Marriage is one man, one woman for one life. That's the biblical definition of marriage. Sociologically, it's defined differently in our culture.
Right.
But God's definition in the Bible, for those of us who are Christians, it's one man and one woman for one life. God intends a marriage to be permanent.
Right.
We understand there's issues of divorce and all of that. But if you're married, God's plan is that you solve the problems, grow through problems, stay in love all the days of your life, and grow old together.
Absolutely.
Until death do us depart is how we say it on our vows. And then we see the relationship side. They two shall be one is about relationship.
Right.
And I started last week, for you that were listening last week, Bethley's dad, in a simple answer to the question, what do you think is the number one problem of the couples you've counseled or pastored? And he said dogmatically, most couples are not best friends. And I find that interesting because you would assume that, wouldn't you? You would just assume that, well, they're married, they're best friends. But it doesn't take you very long if you're around couples to know that's not necessarily
a given.
True.
And I think culturally, it's probably not a given.
Yeah, I think
Married, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a great relationship.
The culture is so different in our generation.
Right.
And there's so many issues that we have to face that sometimes I think our forefathers didn't always have to face.
Right.
The busyness of our culture, the bias of our culture against family and marriage and all of that.
Right.
So let's review a little bit from last week. We talked about if I'm going to be best friends in my marriage, if we're going to be best friends, it is going to take love.
Right.
And we talk that love is what you do, not what you feel. It includes feelings, and we love the feelings. One teenager years ago when I preached a sermon about love gave me a quote, love is a feeling you feel when you feel like you're going to have a feeling you've never felt before. And I have no idea what that means, and neither did she, but she thought it was pretty funny, and it was kind of funny. But love is based on what you do. You do things for each other. You do things together. We talked about that, dating, praying together, planning the future together, doing hobbies together, investing in your marriage is really what this is all about. Putting deposits into your marriage account that reaps great dividends in the years to come.
Right.
And it's a great, great investment. We talked about it takes time. In the busyness of our culture, we're running madly through life. It doesn't matter whether you're single or married, whether it's just the two of you or you have one kid or two kids or 10 kids. Life is crazy busy. Everybody is busy.
Right.
And the odd thing is that there seemed to be a day when people retired and had time. Well, I preach in churches all over the country and I'll, joke with retired people about, wow, it must be nice to be retired. Like, oh my word, I don't have time for nothing. And a lot busier than I've ever been. And that really is kind of sad because... Right. Because one of the things that we have to have in order to be best friends is time.
Right.
We have to invest in each other. We have to prioritize. We talked about that. And any other thought before we move on about love and time?
Just thinking about the priority. It has to be a priority because, yes, we are all busy. And we can all think of the next thing that we need to do. But at the very top of our list should be our relationship with our spouse.
Sure. And prioritizing that maybe meaning writing it in your schedule.
Your
weekly date. Bethany and I'll talk about, like on our morning walk, we'll talk about, the day. What's the day? Or what do we need to do this week?
Right.
And our weeks are always different because we may be in a revival campaign. We may be home instead of in a revival campaign.
Right.
And so every week is, okay, how are we going to prioritize this week so that, that what's important to us is actually what gets done?
Yes.
And so talk about it. Mm-hmm. Sit with your spouse and plan. What could we do to have a closer relationship?
Right.
And start investing is the idea there. But as we continue to talk, there's a couple of the things we would point out to you. How can you, in your marriage, be best friends and have a closer relationship? Well, one of the things Beth and I wanted to say to you is it's going to take loyalty.
Hmm.
Loyalty is big.
Right.
Loyalty says, all right, you know, this, we're going through a different phase in life, but you're number one to me.
Absolutely.
You're more important to me than what's going on right now.
Right.
In the Bible, there's the story of Hosea and Gomer, which is a very weird story.
Hmm.
It's a story of a prophet, and God gave him a wife, and she was actually a prostitute.
Right.
And she eventually tires of her marriage to Hosea, and she goes into the life of prostitution until eventually she is completely destroyed. She's actually being sold into slavery.
Hmm.
Human trafficking is obviously nothing new, because it was back then as well. The fact is, though, that Hosea, Gomer's his wife.
Yes.
The fact is that Hosea was commanded by God to go purchase her. That's your wife.
Mm-hmm.
The picture of loyalty there is amazing. And actually, it is a spiritual illustration in the Bible of how much God loves us.
Absolutely.
That he's always loyal to us. He always cares about us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're in a situation where you are not able to be loyal to your spouse, your marriage is in serious trouble.
Right.
If whatever the reason being, it may be something as small as, you know, you're having in-law troubles. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're frustrated and you're not loyal to your spouse.
Right.
It's always unwise to go to your parents about your spouse and say negative things.
Right.
It always is, because it's a disloyalty. Mm-hmm. Loyalty's got to be known. You know, obviously we have issues. Obviously we have times where we don't see things eye to eye, or we get our feelings hurt, or some issues, you know, kind of bothering us in our heart. But loyalty should be known. And in your marriage, if you're going to be best friends, you got to be loyal.
Absolutely. You
got to make it a major priority.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus even mentioned in his discussion of divorce and remarriage, the second time you find the phrase, for this cause a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, the first time is in Genesis, in creation, when Adam and Eve got married.
Right.
The second time is when the Pharisees were trying to attack Jesus and find a way to, you know, entangle his words in the issue of divorce and remarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said that we should not divorce. And then he adds this, it's a problematic phrase that has been debated, discussed, and even fought over for a long time. And Jesus acknowledged, I think, disloyalty when he said, we should never, divorce is not wise, not good, not intended. Mm-hmm. And then he says something in the discussion about, except it be for fornication.
Mm.
Which is a really strange statement, but it tells us that the reason adultery is so wicked and so evil and so wrong is because it is disloyal to your spouse.
Right.
And I know we've already talked on our podcast some about purity in marriage and in life, but purity is important because it shows a loyalty. When a man says, I don't have eyes for this other woman, I don't have eyes for her.
Right.
She didn't even cross my mind, because I am loyal to my spouse.
Right.
That's vital.
Mm-hmm.
And so any other thought about loyalty before we move to this next thought?
Well, we certainly need to show loyalty in those areas of purity and in faithfulness to our marriage vows, and certainly have no thoughts about others. But I would say that loyalty even shows up in just everyday life.
Sure.
Because, you know, we're around couples all the time, and we can even fall into it. Where you're busy, you're having an irritating day, things are not going well, and you just start kind of snapping at each other or being snarky with each other. Or sometimes you have a little hurt in your heart over something and you haven't talked about it yet. If you want to talk about, or you want to listen to our podcast on communication, that's earlier in our podcast series, but you haven't talked about it yet. You just got a little hurt in your heart. And so maybe some teasing starts around the dinner table. And all of the sudden that teasing gets mean.
It becomes deeply personal.
It does. It becomes very personal. And all of a sudden, everybody around the dinner table knows, I think someone has an issue over there.
One of our kids would say, awkward.
And so loyalty is even just in those everyday little times where you know what? My relationship with you, my best friendship with you is bigger than the hurt I have in my heart. And I will not say that snarky comment to you. Or even if you're in with your friends, you're having a big couples night out, everybody's going, it's your connection class, whatever. And the girls start talking, oh, my husband, he does this and oh, whatever. And you don't join in. No, because you are loyal to that man. Even if he doesn't pick up his socks and put them in the dirty clothes and he leaves them right next to the dirty clothes basket. I know that David never would do that.
Ever, ever.
But, you know, all the things that girls can talk about wives when they get together, don't join in. Don't be snide and snarky about your husband. Be loyal.
Yeah, because your words do affect your heart.
They do.
And even sometimes what is said in humor or a sighing and rolling of the eyes, it puts a negativity in the heart.
It does.
And that's a disloyalty. I was even thinking, just as you were talking there, about one of the things that people comment on frequently in our marriage is that when I'm preaching and Bethley's in the audience, she's engaged. She's very loyal to my preaching in the sense that sometimes it's a, well, not sometimes, oftentimes she hears a sermon repeated, a sermon series I will do for a set amount of time in churches where I've not been before. So I can preach a series. I'm working through a series, or I'm there for a family conference. She's heard all these sermons on the family. Even a joke or a story, but people, I'm always aware when I tell a joke, it's funny to me how often people will look at my wife. They'll look at Bethlehem and they look at you because they're wanting to know, you know, what does she think about this?
Awkward.
And, but it's also true that people are very aware that Bethlehem is very loyal to me. They're very aware of that. And I work at that publicly when I travel without Bethley of mentioning her, of commenting on her. I remember a preacher I heard some years ago that every time he prayed before he prayed for his wife and children who were not able to be with him. And loyalty is verbal, and it's purity. It's saying it. It's showing it. It's standing for it. So if we're going to be best friends in our marriage, it's going to take love. It's going to take time. It's going to take loyalty. And then Bethany and I also want to point out to you, it's going to take growing. And here's an important matter. Marriages are not static.
No.
And neither are we. We're always changing, growing.
Right.
In a sense, you could even say that there's some ways this is true, that the person you married is not the person you married. They should be growing. They should be older, wiser, stronger, more mature. Yes. They should know more now. We've got to continually be growing, and we have to grow in so many areas to be best friends. We have to grow through problems.
Right.
Problems come to marriages. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Thanks for joining us again as we're continuing our discussions about investing in your marriage. Bethany and I believe that God is able to help any marriage to be stronger, to be growing, to be better, and we sure want that for yours. So thanks for joining us and being a part of our discussions, and we hope you'll join us next time as we'll continue this particular topic, and it'll be part 8. In the meantime, don't forget to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.